This room right now is loaded with children, young children. We have older children, adolescents, young adults, parents, grandparents. Just about everybody in here will fall into one of those categories. That's very suitable for what we want to study this morning. And also next week and the Sunday morning after that, Lord willing. So we would like to see the same number, same representation over these next few Lord's days, if that is all possible. We want to engage in a study of Scripture this morning on the subject of children being in subjection. And Lord willing, next week, we want to carry forward what we study this morning into examining about the necessity of children obeying and honoring the parents. And then after that, we want to turn the attention to the other side, to the work that parents have in training up children. But that also is going to involve grandparents many times. That's also going to involve the church, as we all have a responsibility for one another. So when we think of it in the ultimate sense, as God gives us commandments to obey in the home and in the church, there's really not going to be any one of us in this room that would be exempt from having anything to learn from what we want to study from God's Word about over these next 3 weeks, Lord willing. But starting this morning, we want to look at what the Scriptures have to say about children being in subjection, at least some of the fundamental points about that, and recognize already here immediately that we're not going to be able to in 3 weeks' time or 4 weeks' time or even a few months be able to examine everything that God's Word teaches about that, because in some way or another it's going to eventually tie into everything that God teaches in His Word. So we want to start by looking at some very important principles for children to consider so that they can be properly in subjection to their parents and in compliance with the will of God, fulfilling His will, pleasing Him. In Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5, we see that what the Lord's perspective is about parents and children. What a blessing it is for us to have families. And as the Lord points it out here, it's a great blessing to have large families. If God so blesses us, we need to view it that way. That's how He views it. As with just about anything that we would take the time to consider, what God's view of it is and what we'll find taught in Scripture is going to be exactly opposite to what we're going to hear as far as the perspective or the wisdom of the world. Of course, the world's going to say, well, no, large families and having lots of kids, that's a bad thing. I mean, you want to be broke your whole life? I mean, you want to destroy all the resources in the world? And they'll have all their different reasons why they say it's a terrible thing to have large families and all of that. Let's read what God says, though, because His is the only view and only judgment that matters. In Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5, He says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." So it is a blessing to be given children. So children, by that also understanding that principle and how it would work the other way, are also to be a blessing and strength to their parents. So this is all a blessing from God, for parents to have children, children to have parents. In Proverbs chapter 17, and we'll go ahead and say that the vast majority of our the next 30 minutes, Lord willing, we're going to be looking at Scriptures, especially in the book of Proverbs. That's where 90% of our, at least 90% of what we're going to be looking at through the remainder of our time. Again, if the Lord wills, it's going to be in this book. But Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 6 says, "Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers." So we see how that is reciprocal and how that's a mutual blessing for parents to have children. And later on down the line to have grandchildren, and old men to have their children's children. That's a crown to them. And it says the glory of children are their father. So it should be something very, that's a great blessing to young and old, children and their parents and grandparents, all concerned, as he says there, and going back to what we also saw there a moment ago in Psalm 127. The book of Malachi, chapter 4, this is these are the last words of the Old Testament. This is Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, the last two verses of the Old Testament. So on what note does the Old Testament end? Well, it ends on a note of prophecy of the New Testament. And what would be the center or the central thought of the prophecy of what the Lord would have in mind for what was coming with the New Testament as he closes the Old Testament? Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. He says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." So one of the major purposes of the coming, and this is a promise of the coming of John the Baptist and his work in preparing the way for Christ, but it was going to be centered in, to a large extent, in turning the heart of the fathers to their children and the heart of the children to their fathers. So he wanted parents to be mindful of their children and their roles and responsibilities in bringing up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, training up their children as they should, and the children to be mindful of their responsibilities and duties before God, to be in subjection to their parents, to obey and to honor their parents as God has commanded. So how is God's will going to be fulfilled by any of us if we don't understand, know the responsibilities that God gives to us as parents and as children, and then to be seeking to fulfill those responsibilities and do as the Lord has taught us with all of our might? And what is the effect on the earth when, or in this world, when parents and children have absolutely no mind whatsoever to what their Maker has to say about what they should be doing in their families? We've seen the destruction of the family in our culture in modern times. I mean, there's just no other way to put it. What God established in the beginning in the book of Genesis, what Christ reaffirmed and established in his teachings in Matthew 5 and Matthew chapter 19, other places, that what God has established has been so corrupted and so destroyed by mankind in our modern world. It's a great shame. And what does the Lord think of that? And what does he say here in these verses in Malachi 4 that he was, that had to do with why he wanted his people, the fathers, to have their minds, their hearts turned to their children and the children to their fathers? He says, "Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." I mean, what would happen to the world? What will happen? What is happening when these teachings of God concerning the home and the family are not understood and not followed? I mean, we see the world becoming more and more wicked and more subject to the wrath and ultimate punishment and judgment of God. Let's turn to the New Testament, to Luke chapter 1, where we see the fulfillment of that prophecy in Malachi 4, as it was here quoted by God's angel that was sent to Zechariah, who was to be the father of John the Baptist. This is the angel Gabriel speaking to Zechariah here in Luke chapter 1. Let's read verses 13 through 17. It says, "But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So we see that John the Baptist was going to be that one with the spirit and power of Elijah. So that's that Elijah to come that Malachi 4 foretold. And then we see that work that John was going to do to prepare the way for what Christ was doing. So what was central to John's work was central to Christ's work and remains so. In turning the fathers to their hearts of the fathers to their children and the children to their fathers. So he wants children's hearts to be turned to their fathers, their parents, and what their responsibility is to God as being in subjection to their parents. Let's turn to the book of Proverbs, and let's now look at some scriptures that show the effect that children have on their parents. And maybe that's something that children don't often appreciate. I know, unfortunately, that I didn't really recognize that so well until, well, later than I wish I had. I'm sure my mother was later than she wished I had, too. But we don't want this to be, there be a delay in our understanding and appreciating what the Lord has to say here about the way that children can affect their parents. I mean, children tend to be very focused on themselves. But you young people here right now, make sure you're paying attention to this. You do have an effect on your parents, but what you do also has an effect on what God views you, how God views you. So that needs to be very much in your minds as you go through your day-to-day activities and what you choose to do. But let's look at Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1. He says, the Proverbs of Solomon. So this is what begins the actual Proverbs. The first nine chapters are really giving the preparation and building up in the understanding of the things that we need to have in mind to understand all these individual proverbs. Now here in chapter 10 and verse 1, he starts the actual proverbs. What's the first one? In verse 1, he says, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. So there is the kind of impact that a child can have on his parents. And in this case, in a negative way, both a positive and a negative way, if a child is wise, that's going to make their father, he's going to make their father glad, or she will make their father glad and mother. A foolish son, though, he says, is the heaviness of his mother. So children, you're either going to make your parents very glad, or they're going to, or make them feel very heavy in heart, based on who you are and what you're like if you have godly parents. Well, we see this also in chapter 17 and verse 25, Proverbs 17:25. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bear him. Well, again, that one's showing the negative impact that a child that's foolish and disobedient is going to have on their parents. Well, on the other hand, if we turn to chapter 23, Proverbs 23, 24, and 25, we see the focus again on the positive side, Proverbs 23, verses 24 and 25. He says, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Well, don't you want your parents to be rejoicing over who you are and that God has given them such a blessing to have you as a child? I mean, that's the way a child should be thinking towards their parents, to please God. But one of the great ways to please God is to please their parents and make their life and their work to be a joy. And that is a demonstration, again, of the kind of effect that children can have on the parents. So what kind of effect do you want to have on your parents? Because you're going to have one. What kind do you want to have on your parents? Well, let's look at Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 11 as he summarizes this. Proverbs 20 and verse 11. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. That's the bottom line. Of course, God knows all the children. He knows all of us and what we're doing and who we are. But children are going to have a reputation among people based on what their behavior is and what people see of their behavior. And if your behavior is good and right, as one who is following God should be, then you're going to be known by your good doings. And your parents are going to be glad and rejoice. And that's the way we want all of the children here to be. All of us, not just our own, but every one of the ones that are here. As it's God's desire. So let's turn now to consider some of the things that children need to specifically do so that they can be that wise and righteous child that is going to please God, make their parents rejoice and have joy. Well, this is going to start with listening to the parents, remembering what they have taught and what they have said, receiving their words and keeping them. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 4. For this to be done, we need to first have the foundation or understanding that what the parents teach their children, what they're commanding them, should be a reflection of or should be the same as what God is teaching. That's what godly parents are going to do. They're going to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Godly parents, Christian parents, should not be just making up their own thoughts about what's good or what's not good and just very arbitrarily deciding what they're going to tell their children they should and shouldn't do. It needs to be based in what God teaches in His Word. What the parents are teaching the children should be an extension of what God is teaching the children. So many of you young people right here have been blessed with godly parents who are attempting to teach you what your Maker wants you to understand and know. Well, that's what we see here in Proverbs chapter 4. This is what happened with Solomon himself, the one that God inspired with these words, primarily the one inspired with the words of this book of Proverbs. And he's the one that God is using to speak here in this fourth chapter of the book of Proverbs, starting in verse 1. As God is using Solomon now to speak to all of us and to children, and he's going to reflect on his own training by his father. And we all know who his father was, don't we? Who was the father of King Solomon? It was David, that man after God's own heart. How could you have a better father than a man who's after God's own heart? How could you be blessed with a better father than David? Solomon truly was blessed with the one that God gave him to be his father. And so we see in verse 1 of chapter 4 of the book of Proverbs, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live." So Solomon now is expressing to us what David taught him, to listen, to retain his words, and to keep his commandments and live. Well, we know that David taught Solomon what God was teaching Solomon, the Word of God, the will of God. And in verse 5, he says, "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her go. Keep her. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life." This instruction that David gave to Solomon was going to be his life. If he would listen to, if he would retain these words and never forget them, but follow them always. And by extension, that would be the same for us and for our children. That's the point there. Otherwise, then we would run into a situation like we read about in Matthew chapter 10. And this would be a very sad situation if any child had a parent or parents who were not righteous, who were training them and teaching them to follow ways that were contrary to God's way. In such a case, that does happen sometimes, but sadly, but in Matthew 10:34-39, Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. So in such a case, if whether it's a child, if they have their parents that are trying to lead them in a way that's contrary to God's will, commanding them to do something that would be disobedience to God, or if children were trying to encourage their parents to turn away from the Lord, we can only have one master, and it has to be Jesus Christ. Same thing we see in Luke 20, chapter 14 and verse 26, where he says, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." We can't have any other master than Jesus Christ. That has to be always remembered. Can't be ourselves. It can't be our parents or children, siblings, spouses, anybody. We can only follow Christ as a master. But when we are blessed with having godly parents, there's not going to be such a competition. It's not going to be a temptation to follow a different way than God's way when our parents are telling us something. It's going to be the same and consistent. What they're telling us is what we should hear and what we should know. It's the will of God. And children need to listen to that. Proverbs chapter 1, if we'll turn back to that book now, where we're going to be really parking for the next while, Lord willing. But Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck." So he says, hear, listen to the instruction of your father, forsake not the law of your mother. Need to listen to, remember, and follow the things that your parents have taught you to do. Wear them. They should be part of you and with you at all times. As he says, that they're going to be an ornament of grace to your head and chains around your neck. That's going to be something that you carry with you at all times. So whether your parents are watching or not. It's not being in subjection to your parents if the only time you're doing what they say is when you recognize or think they're watching you. God is always watching us. He always knows what we're doing. And children should not be trained strictly to obey when they're under the direct gaze or watch of their parents. Now, wise parents are going to understand that they're going to need that constant gaze and attention to help them so that they can get that training they need. But children, they need to be obeying their parents, remembering what they've been commanded, and following that at all times, wearing that on their head, around their neck. And that is the way that God would have all children to do. Chapter 2, verses 1 to 6. "My son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." That's going to be the reward for children who are seeking to remember and follow what their parents have taught them to do. They will then be seeking God, and God will be the one to give them wisdom and understanding and knowledge, if that's what they're seeking as their parents have taught them to do. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. We see just about every chapter here. Especially, again, as we're seeing, this is the foundation to understand those Proverbs that come later. But so much emphasis on these points through chapter by chapter here early in Proverbs for the children to remember and to retain the commandments, to listen to their parents. Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 4. "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." That does remind us of that first commandment with a promise, doesn't it? Children, obey your parents. That is the way to and honor your father and mother. And that's one way the Lord will bless with length of days. But verse 3, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." If they're written there in the heart, that's ultimately where they need to be. And if that's where those commandments are written, then that person, if something's written in our heart, that's something we're going to follow at all times. It will not matter who's there or who's not there, who's watching. There's not going to be any sneaking around. There's not going to be any behind-the-back stuff going on if these things are written in our hearts like they're supposed to be. And God says, don't forget these things. Write them in your hearts. Now, it's very typical for children to say when they've done something that they shouldn't do and they've been told, you know, how many, we always say it's 1,000 times, but it's probably more than that sometimes. But at any rate, we'll hear, well, I forgot. That's not a good thing. That's not an excuse. Of course, that's even growing up into adulthood. Sometimes we still use that one. But to say, well, we just forgot. That doesn't make it okay. He says, don't forget. Remember what you've been taught. Listen to it and remember what you've been taught. Write it in your heart. And if it's written there, you're going to remember and you're going to be following it all the time. So if really the proper answer is if you're forgetting what you've been told, it's not written where it's supposed to be written. It's not there in your heart yet. And that's where the work needs to be done. And of course that's the parents' job too, but the children have to listen to have that written there. You've got to have a heart for it and a desire for it, for that to be written there so it will be retained within you so you will follow these things at all times. Chapter 4, Proverbs chapter 4, 20 through 27. He says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So there again we see where these are to be written, what needs to be guarded. It's the heart, because that's where all the issues of life come from. He says in verse 24, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. And let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Now the other thing, other than I forgot, another common excuse that comes up that children will naturally turn to is, I wasn't thinking about that. Well, sometimes that has to be pointed out. What were you thinking? It's sometimes evident that there was no thinking going on whatsoever, or certainly not any good kind of thinking. But what does the Lord say here? He says, ponder the path of your feet. Don't take a step until you're thinking about, is this the right way to go? Is this what my parents have taught me based on, is this what God wants me to do? And that's the ultimate thought. Is this what the Lord wants me to do? And that's what your parents' job is, to teach you those things. Ponder the path of your feet. Don't turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You need to have those things written in your heart. Think about, am I about to do the right thing here, or am I about to do something that is not right? If we do think about that, like we should, we're going to be doing the right thing at all times. And that's what childhood is, when we get the foundation of that. But what time in our life can we say, okay, I'm done with that? I mean, this is what we learned then, but we have to always follow for the rest of our days, thinking about the path of our feet and not turning aside to the right hand or to the left. I mean, look around and see what kind of adults we have in the world today. Why are they like that now? Well, what kind of training were they getting as a child? I mean, what's happened? You can see the fruit of it, unfortunately, and it's not good fruit. Which is going to bring us to the next point that we want to look at as we're closing out. As he's instructed children to listen to their parents as they are teaching them the ways of God, to remember those things and to think about those things, we also have to remember not to listen to any other source other than what God is using to teach us His ways. The devil's going to use lots of other influences on children if he is given that opportunity. Children, you're going to have opportunities to listen to your peers, to other children sometimes when they are trying to get you to follow some way that you shouldn't. And there's another classic one. How many of us cannot remember saying these things myself, yourself? I mean, I certainly used the I forgot, or I wasn't thinking about that, and the, well, everybody else was, or he told me to do that. How natural is it for children to try to blame somebody else, some other child, for telling them or trying to lead them into something they shouldn't do? Well, they're the one that told me that. As if that makes it okay. It does not. That is not an excuse. What does the Lord say to do about that in those situations? We're not supposed to listen to people who are being foolish. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 through 16. Proverbs 1, 10 through 16. Now, especially in our world today, the chances of us having, as a young person, the chance of you having young people around you that are wise is going to be pretty rare, unless you're doing what you should and having your associations with other godly young people like here. But unfortunately, there's going to be lots of opportunities, whether it's other relatives or people in other particular situations at school and other things. There are going to be lots of fools around you. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 through 16 says what to do about that. As we start there, verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us wallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Well, that shows how serious that can become on down the line, and how to what extent the kinds of sins and wickedness, what it can progress to. But it starts much before that. And if children learn early on, they're not going to listen to other children that are being foolish and trying to entice them to do things that are not right and that their parents have told them not to do, then that's going to spare them much grief. And again, going back to where we started, that will also spare them from being that kind of child that's going to cause grief and heaviness and shame to the parents and yourselves. In Proverbs chapter 4, if we turn back there again where we were a moment ago, let's read 14 through 19, Proverbs 4, 14 to 19. Enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. So again, children need to always remember that and avoid and stay far away from any and all who are going to be a corrupting influence to take you into a way or down a path that is not the right path to go down. Don't look at it. Don't go anywhere near that, the Lord tells us. Again, that's something we have to continue to keep in mind and follow throughout all our days. But Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20, he says there, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Now, when does that ever stop being true? It doesn't. But this needs to be learned in childhood. Who are your companions? Are you with wise people that are helping you to learn wisdom, that are encouraging you to do what's right in the sight of the Lord and obey your parents? Are you with a bunch of foolish rebels that are trying to teach you and lead you down a way that's away from what God would have you to do and that's opposite to what your parents are telling you? Well, again, he tells us what the outcome is going to be based on what kind of companions that we have. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 27, he says, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. He says, stop that. Don't listen to that anymore. So have you done it? Well, he says, don't do it anymore. Stop listening to that. And chapter 28 and verse 7, Proverbs 28 and verse 7. You see how many times that he touches on this subject? He says, whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. So we see how many times that principle, that point is taught to the children. And also, as one is instructed so many times here, as a child is instructed not to listen to or follow the way that other people will try to get you to go in a foolish and wicked way, he also says not to listen to yourself. Now, again, that's going to be opposite of what the world's going to tell you, was the world tells you to listen to or follow your own heart. Well, that's the world's way of saying you can be your own master. But the Lord says, no, you can't. And we'll see what he says about listening to ourselves here. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So who is supposed to direct our steps? We see that also in Jeremiah 10:23. It's not in man that walks to direct his own steps. It's God that is the one that is to build our steps. He's the one to lead us. He's the one to teach us and train us and direct our paths. And we need to trust in him and follow him. And as far as being wise in our own eyes, he says, depart from that. Don't be that. And depart from evil. We also want to look at Proverbs 23 and verse 4. This is a very plain statement here in this verse. Proverbs 23:4, labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Again, he says, stop that. Just like he says, stop listening to these people that are telling you or instructing you in a way that's causing you to err. He says, stop listening to your own self and stop from your own wisdom. And we also have verse 19, Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 19. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Now notice what that says. The heart is to be the guide, or the heart is to be guided? See, are we supposed to follow our heart, or are we supposed to lead and guide our heart? Which way does he say there? He says for us to guide our hearts. And guide it in the way. So we need to be wise, and we need to make sure that we are listening to God to let Him form our hearts in the right way, and that we are guiding and directing our hearts in that direction to yield ourselves to Him, to let Him do that work in our hearts, rather than trying to follow our heart that's going to take us any direction but the Lord's. And then we also want to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11, as he says this is what youth is prone to. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9, he says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. Now, there's so many that would love to put a period right there, close up the Bible and say, okay, we're done now. But that's not what the point is there. There's not a period there. He's talking about, okay, here's what you do if you do that, and that's what's so common for young people to do, for them to rejoice in their youth and to pursue what makes them happy, walk in the ways of their own heart and the sight of their own eyes. He says, but know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. And then we have the next verse, chapter 12, verse 1, that says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. So he doesn't want young people to follow their own heart and follow their own ways and pleasure. He says, you do that, but remember, you're going to be brought into judgment by God for it. So therefore, the point is, remember your Creator, follow Him, remember Him in your youth, and put away these things of childhood, this vanity and wickedness and all these things. How many young people get caught up in so many foolish things and taking them away from their Creator and fulfilling His will rather than towards Him to accomplish His will? 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11, he says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Vanity and wasting time and having fun and living to be happy with whatever thing one is involved in that's not something spiritual and not involved in serving the Lord. Is that the way the Lord wants us to go? That needs to be put away. As children are growing up, they need to put those things away. And becoming an adult who's following the Lord like one should, one will have put away those things so that their mind is fully on the Lord and His will, accomplishing His purposes. But the only way we're going to be prepared for that as an adult is to start in childhood. That's the proper way, is to learn that in childhood and to start practicing those things now, which comes first of all by being in subjection to one's parents. And we'll stop with our time this morning as we're out of time. But Lord willing, next week, we want to dig down into a study of what the Lord commands as far as obeying and honoring one's parents before we then, Lord willing, shift our attention to the parents' work in training up their children. But we do appreciate all of you being here this morning. We would very much encourage you to be back next Lord's Day to continue with this as we try to learn more of what God would have children to do in fulfilling His will, and then also what parents should do. But if this morning is an opportunity for you right now, if you've not yet turned to following the Lord and doing His will, this is the time to start right now, because we have no guarantee of another day or another opportunity to turn to the Lord. The Lord commands us all to repent. We have to repent, or He says we will perish. Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5. And godly sorrow works repentance, as He tells us in 2 Corinthians in chapter 7 and verse 10. And He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. So we have to be immersed in water to put on Christ, Galatians 3:27, to have our sins washed away and to be added to the church, Acts 2:47 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. Are you ready to do that, confessing your faith in Christ before men to become a child of God? We're ready to assist you so that you can be baptized into Him and have hope of eternal life. Are you a Christian, and have you gone astray from the Lord, and do you need to come back to Him this morning? If you do, if you need to repent and you need the prayers and encouragement of your brethren here, this is an opportunity for you also. Anyone that needs to come, please do so right now while we stand and sing.